Paul reminded the believers that they were living in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, and that they should shine as lights in the world. Welcome to Gateway to Joy, a ministry of Elizabeth Elliott, helping you to run the race of life each day with an eternal view. We have a question and answer session today. Let's get started.
I became acquainted with you through articles published in Crosspoint, a magazine we receive. Aside from your books, are your articles published elsewhere? Not on any regular basis. Every once in a while I'm asked to write an article, not very often anymore. I used to write a regular column for Christian Herald magazine, which has long since gone defunct. And many of the articles that I did write are in several of my books. I have about five books, which are collections of articles. Crosspoint is a magazine that has an article by me in virtually every issue, I think. They just wrote and asked if they would be permitted to use anything that they wanted to use from my writings, and so I don't sit down and write articles for them. They're already written, and they choose them. How did you know the will of God in your life? When did you feel your calling? I have three basic principles that I would suggest to start with if you are in a quandary about anything. First of all, tell God you do what he says. Second thing, read your Bible and pray. The third thing, which is very often overlooked, do the next thing. In other words, continue to do the duties that you already know God is requiring of you. If you're a mother, you know what your duties are. If you're a wife, you know what your duties are. If you're a father, you know what your domestic duties are. You know what your duties are in your job, whatever that is. If you go to a church, you all know what your duties are. What about the neighborhood? All of these things are common, ordinary duties, which we need to carry out faithfully. And it's as we do those things, which we may think of as very trivial and not very spiritual, then God can make known his special will in some decision which we're stewing about. And then there are many other things to look for, and I have written a book on that subject called God's Guidance. It goes into God's methods, God's instruments, God's means, supernatural means, natural means. And then this person wants to know, when did you feel your calling? I had hoped all my life that God was going to give me the privilege of being a foreign missionary. And so I guess I always sort of felt like a missionary. And I thought that I was going to be a doctor because that's what I wanted to be from the time I was a little kid. First I wanted to be a nurse, then I decided I'd be a doctor, then I decided I would be a surgeon, a missionary surgeon, and I registered as a pre-med student at Wheaton. But it was at the end of my junior year that I saw that God had given me a gift in linguistics, and it was then that I heard about the need for Bible translations. And so I majored in Greek and took linguistic training. I don't go by my feelings. I try not to go by my feelings. I didn't have any further feel of a call. It was between my junior and senior year that I got down on my knees one summer day and just said, Lord, is this my idea or is this yours? Is this just my own personal longing to be a foreign missionary, or are you really calling me? And we have to believe that God is going to answer us in the way that we need. And he did. He gave me scriptures. He gave me all kinds of unexpected ways in which Ecuador was brought to my attention. And there were some other factors. But rest assured that the Lord, who is our shepherd and has promised to lead us in paths of righteousness, that he will do just that. And he knows what it takes to guide you if you've made up your mind to do what he says. And if you are doing what he says today, what is the point of asking God about your career 6 months from now or 6 years from now if you're not being obedient in what God tells you to do today? I have to say this to students all the time because they're all hung up about who to marry and what college to go to and what to major in and how to find the will of God. And I say, I can tell you what the will of God is. You're a student, aren't you? Well, the will of God for you is to study and not plagiarize on your papers, and not cheat on the exams. If you're being disobedient in those areas, you can't expect God to show you what he wants you to obey elsewhere. In response to a question this morning, you mentioned Ephesians 5:22, wives submit. You and many other teachers use this passage a lot in your teachings, but I've never heard anyone discuss the previous verse. Ephesians 5:21, submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. This seems to me to mean everyone, husbands to wives and parents to children included. What is your understanding of this commandment? Why is it so often overlooked by teachers and preachers? I don't think I ever overlook it in a talk on this subject. I might in a question when I'm trying to answer it very briefly. But to me, it's perfectly clear that it would be nonsense for Paul to say, masters, submit yourself to your slaves, and parents, submit yourselves to your children. Paul starts out by saying, submit to one another. That is a general statement. Then he immediately specifies the order in which this submission is to be obtained. Wives to husbands, children to parents, slaves to masters. That is the biblical order. And it is unfortunate if people overlook that altogether. My husband and I need some principles to discern how many children we should have. We hear so many conflicting sides and, of course, question our own abilities or capabilities. We already have two wonderful children. I don't think you find any conflicting sides in the scripture. Children are a heritage from the Lord. They are a gift from the Lord. But I do not think that the scripture teaches that to do anything about a given decision is to prove that you're not trusting God for that decision. And an example of that would be when Nehemiah was building the wall. He says, we prayed to our God and we set a watch. And there are a whole lot of passages in scripture where something had to be done. Hezekiah prayed for healing, but Hezekiah also made a fig poultice. What I do want to say to young people, and it's certainly not my prerogative to tell you what to do or what not to do, but since you ask, I would say, I thank God for and applaud young couples who really honestly want to receive what God wants to give them. I don't think you can begin to understand how blessed a large family is until you are a member of one or have one. And I'm just thrilled to see the big families that I know, the Christian families. Lars and I visited a home in Hungary that had 14 children. It was one of the most beautiful homes we've ever been in. The dynamics between those children were just tearjerkers to see, the love among those children, including a 19-year-old, very handicapped sister who was blind and speechless and crippled. All those children just loved that sister. So you're doing your children a very big favor, the bigger the family is, and God will never give you a child for whom he will not provide. Of course, the economics make no sense in today's world. They're going to tell you it's going to cost you $200,000 per child, so that's $1 million if you have five of them. Pay no attention to that. Ask the Lord what you should do. How do we reconcile being in God's will now and reaping what we sowed in the past? For example, marrying an unsaved husband. You don't have to reconcile it. God will take care of that. If you are married now to an unsaved husband and you deliberately married an unsaved husband, perhaps when you were not saved, this is your assignment today. You are to be the wife of this man. You do not institute a divorce because you made a mistake 10 years ago. This is the situation in which God wants you to learn to know him. And in every situation, God is going to guide you. I'm not sure if I read you this passage yesterday, if I read it in the church where I spoke on Sunday night, but this is very comforting. Whatever I am, wherever I am, I can never be thrown away. If I am in sickness, my sickness may serve him. In perplexity, my perplexity may serve him. If I am in sorrow, my sorrow may serve him. He knows what he is about. He does nothing in vain. He may throw me among strangers. He may make me feel desolate, etc. No matter what your seemingly insupportable system problem might be, God is here now with you, and you can forget about the decisions you made that were wrong in the past. You may have to reap some sorrow because of them, yes. But you don't even think for 2 seconds about doing anything about getting out of the marriage. If you are now married to an unsaved husband, then ask God to help you to fulfill everything that it says in 1 Peter 3. That deals specifically with a woman who is married to a man who is either not a Christian or who is not behaving like a Christian. Is it contradictory to pray thy will be done while at the same time praying for something specifically, as you did in praying that God would give you Jim Elliot as a husband? Certainly not, because we are commanded again and again to pray. But Jesus gave us the Lord's Prayer, and we pray specifically, thy kingdom come, thy will be done. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our trespasses. These are all petitions, aren't they? But the bottom line is, thy will be done. That should be the bottom line of all of our prayers. Paul says in Philippians 4, make your requests known to God. That's a command. Why should I not make my request known to God? I'm telling God something he already knows, but God wants to bring his child to his knee. God wants to give us things that he cannot give us until we've asked for them, so that we will then recognize that we did ask for him, he did give it to us, and now we can thank him. And I find that if I don't keep a notebook about some of the major prayers in my life, I completely forget about them and don't even think of thanking him. So I've been keeping a little prayer notebook, and it is wonderfully faith-strengthening to go back and see, this is what I asked on this date, this is the answer that God gave me. And over again, they are things which I know I would have forgotten to say thank you for.
You've been listening to Gateway to Joy with Elizabeth Elliot, author of over 20 books, including Shadow of the Almighty, The Life and Testament of Jim Elliot. Join us next time for more encouragement and challenge from Elizabeth Elliot. This has been a production of the Bible Broadcasting Network.